That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Justin Fried, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mike Luciano. Mike, I know you are still reeling from yesterday's big Knicks-Nets trade, but aside from that, how are you feeling today, buddy? What's going on?
Well, I mean, I'm not happy because, as we mentioned before the show, I basically have to watch my team go, 15-67 for 4 or 5 years in a row, and then maybe if ping-pong lottery balls work out, maybe they could pick a 19-year-old kid. Yeah, I'm glad they traded their one asset for guys who are in middle school right now because there's 20, 31 picks.
I did say, aside from the trade, how are you doing today?
Well, I can't because it's on my mind. So
fair. It's on my mind too, and I'm in a good mood.
So yeah, I'm not in a good mood about the way the Jets are being discussed either, because I thought we were past the point of like LOL Jets, but apparently not, because there's still Aaron Rodgers minicamp discourse going on. Julian Edelman saying if the Jets are 1-3, they're going to be talking about that. Dude. Oh yeah.
The Edelman thing, we don't even need to get in.
If they go 1-3, it'll be, why didn't he go to 2 practices in June?
The funniest part about Edelman's comment was him straight up saying that he played with Tom Brady for whatever, however many years. Like, Tom Brady would never do this. Tom Brady missed 11 days of training camp with the Tampa Bay Bucs 2 years ago, literally 2 years ago.
He didn't do it with you, but he did it. So
right, exactly.
But we got some more stuff because we got to add some more names to the Jets disrespect list, including Pro Football Talk. Yep. So they're first in the crosshairs. So
for you.
Before all that, though, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and we're on YouTube at the Jet Press. That's where you can like the stream, which really helps. That's where you can subscribe. That really helps. All of that helps support the show. So if you want to show your support, that is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited too, Mike. I'm excited for the main event we got in store today, which is we're drafting the all-time Jets offense.
That should be yes, we are.
It is June. There's not a lot to talk about. We did miss last week, so we're back now. I think we're probably doing the all-time Jets defense maybe next week too, so maybe stay tuned for that as well.
Is it a problem that when you said it's June, my first thought was like, it is June? I almost thought it was July.
It's almost July. It's almost July. Yeah. It's late June. No, not a lot going on.
You're right. It is June. So on this June 26th, we will check out the fact that Pro Football Talk somehow believes that the Jets, a team that was ranked 25th at the end of last year's power ranking. So you guys remember last year, right? Was it fun? No, it was terrible. There were injuries and losses and winnable games. The offense was as bad as it could have possibly been. The Jets were the 25th best team in the NFL. And that might have been generous because offensively, they were certainly 32nd. Somehow, Pro Football Talk has the Jets coming in at 25th again in their power rankings. Now, before this, we've seen a lot of offseason power rankings. It's a common filler article that a lot of guys write in June and July. It's a thing you do. The lowest I've seen the Jets ranked was like 12 or 13. And that was the absolute lowest. They have them at 25th. Crazy. Raiders, Titans, Giants, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots, Panthers are the only teams who are worse, which means teams above them include the Vikings, who may start either Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy, one of those two. They're basically the same player, both good and bad. One of them, they're apparently better than the Jets. The Broncos.
Were the most wild.
Who are going to start Bo Nick or possibly Zach Wilson. They're above the Jets. The Bears, Another team starting a rookie quarterback with a coach that hasn't won anything.
The Seahawks. They're
above the Jets. The Seahawks are above the Jets. The Colts, who are starting another injured. I love Anthony Richardson, but I mean, he's been banged up. They are above the Jets.
Yeah.
This list, not only is it deplorable because of where the Jets are ranked, but the only justification Florio gave in his article, the Jets are counting on way too many injured veterans to stay healthy. Which, valid concern.
Sure.
What about the rest of the team?
Yeah.
What about Sauce Gardner? What about Breece Hall? What about Garrett Wilson? What about Quinnen Williams? What about Quincy Williams? What about this defense that you could make a case at its peak was as good as any in the league last year? I know Baltimore and Cleveland lapped them statistically, but in terms of what they had to put up with and what they were asked to do, you can make a case they were number one. 25th? Are you trying to tell me, Mike Florio, sir, that the Jets getting Aaron Rodgers back, compromised as he may be from his Achilles injury, that he's going to make no impact in your power rankings, that they are not going to move the needle one iota? Do you think the Jets are going to win five games next year, Mike Florio? Because that's what it seems like you think, based on ranking him here. Five games? I've seen articles that have them ranked as the best overall roster top to bottom in the league, and I don't think that's very far off. I don't think they are, but I think they're close, just 1-53. Is there really like a glaring weakness on this roster? They have holes, but is there one major scary area? I don't think so. And yet Florio has him at 25th. Make it make sense. Somebody, please.
As John here on Facebook said, he said that list is a freaking joke. Yes. Yes, it is.
And John, you may have, I don't want to presume, but if you wanted to use more colorful language, that would have been appropriate too, because freaking joke does not even begin to describe a list that puts a Bo Nix quarterback team over an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team with a good roster.
I've seen most lists have the Broncos like a bottom three team. So them, Florio putting the Broncos.
I projected the whole season out. I have them getting the number two pick.
And that's fair. And that's very valid. Having them at 22.
That tough-ass division?
Just imagine comparing the Jets and Broncos rosters side by side. Even you would throw in their coaching staffs too if you want. Imagine looking at those two teams and saying that the Broncos are a better team right now than the Jets. I mean, we don't have to beat around the bush here, Mike. We know why Florio ranked the Jets 25th. It's not because he genuinely believes the Jets are the 25th best team in the NFL.
Does he believe a team that is currently starting Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims, and Adam Trautman is currently better than what the Jets have?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Florio ranked the Jets here for two reasons. One, he's always been very anti-Jets. I hate using the whole like anti-Jets beat media bias. It's not true for everyone. It has been true for Mike Florio. He has consistently done that. But more importantly, Mike Florio despises Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's made this very, very clear, right? And you can have any opinion you want on Aaron Rodgers. We both have our opinions on him, not only just as, you know, not as a player necessarily, but for some of his antics, some of his comments, some of his actions, whatever, you can have those opinions. But if you let those opinions distract you from the fact that this man is, you know, not only one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but by all accounts, I don't think it's a hot take to say that even in a worst case scenario, he should be a significant upgrade over the quarterback play that the Jets were forced to deal with last year. Like if you can't acknowledge that, what are you doing in sports media? Genuinely speaking, what are you doing in sports media? It's asinine. It's completely insane. Having the Jets there at 25 just doesn't make any sense. I don't think you can make a valid argument that they on paper don't have a top 10 roster in the NFL, top 10 to 12, even if you're being really, you know, reluctant to put them higher just because of the injury concerns. I get it. It's fair. Like there are genuine concerns about the Jets. We're not saying that they are destined for a Super Bowl. Their floor is lower than a lot of Jets fans probably would like to admit because of the injury concerns of Aaron Rodgers. Not only the injury concerns, but we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to look like. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a top three quarterback in the NFL this year. And I think expecting that is probably expecting too much. You have the injury, the floor is low at the offensive line because of the injury concerns. That's all fair. And the offensive coaching staff stinks. That's fair. All of that is valid.
But he didn't list any of that. He just said veteran injuries. That's all
he
said.
Sure.
But that's basically he means Rodgers and Tyron Smith. That's what he means.
Correct. And even acknowledging all of that, there's no justification for putting them at 25. It doesn't make any sense. Now, maybe, possibly in some world, because power rankings are weird. Power rankings aren't necessarily always a ranking of here are the best teams, right? That's not really what it is. There's like momentum involved. So maybe Florio is looking at it and saying, oh, the Jets are a disgrace. They're a laughingstock. They're a mess. Aaron Rodgers missed minicamp. Hassan Reddick is you know, MIA.
They're not MIA. He's in Japan. We know where he is.
I'm using his logic. Hassan Reddick is not MIA. Hassan Reddick is not. There's not going to be an issue with that. We've talked about that. Hassan Reddick will be there for week one. That shouldn't be a cause for concern, nor should Aaron Rodgers missing 2 days of minicamp be a cause for concern either. But I'm talking from Florio's perspective. Maybe he's looking at all that and he's saying, oh, the Jets are trending down. That's why they're ranked that low. Possibly. Maybe that's what he's saying. Or maybe he genuinely is saying that the Jets are the 25th best team in the NFL on paper. I don't know. Either way, it's completely asinine. It doesn't make any sense. It's dumb. It's just flat out dumb.
And the worst part, though, is, you know, you hate to make assumptions with things like this because these are loaded, but it just feels so personal.
Oh, it is.
With him and Rodgers.
I don't think that's an assumption. I think that's a factual statement.
And we're not fans. I mean, look, some of the things he said, not politically, but culturally,
yeah,
about what he believes, the fact he had to deny that whole Sandy Hook thing is frightening, if you remember that from a while back. Like, we're not fans of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think, like, personally, I wouldn't want to hang out with the guy, but the teammates seem to groove him, and he's really good. I don't think he'll be top three anymore, but I think he'll still be an above-average quarterback because he still has the arm and because he's Aaron Rodgers, and he's got Aaron Rodgers' brain still.
And even if he's not helping football, even if he's the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, that is a massive upgrade over what the Jets had last year. Like, it cannot be stated how big of an upgrade that is.
So let's assume the defense is kind of where it was last year.
Yeah.
The Jets were 7-10 and 25th overall with that dreck of a quarterback room.
Yep.
Is he thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to perform at the same level as that quarterback room?
That would be the insinuation.
Basically. Does he hate Tyrod Taylor that much where he's assuming Rodgers is going to get hurt and Tyrod Taylor will be that bad? It just – that and Tyron Smith too. Well, Tyron Smith can get hurt. Drafted Olu Fashanu 11th overall. You think he's that bad?
Right. And I don't even want to use the whole, like, because every single team does this. Every team's fan base goes into the season and they're like, oh, we're so much better than we were last year. Every team's fan base convinces
themselves. The Jets are, though.
Every team's fan base convinces themselves that they're going to be better this year than they were the previous year. That is a common thing across the entire NFL. But it cannot be stated the difference between the quarterback room the Jets had last year and literally any quarterback play that they might get this year. I mean, it is not even night and day. Like, it is just such a vast difference that predicting the team to finish roughly the same as they did last year, if not worse, going from Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle to even Tyrod Taylor. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is a significant upgrade over what they had last year.
They probably win two extra games minimum with Tyrod.
Right. But we're approaching this wrong, Mike. We're trying to find logic in an illogical place. Florio is not using logic here. Pro Football Talk is not using logic to make this ranking. You said you don't want to make assumptions. I will. He's using his own personal bias and vendetta against a person who it's totally fair completely valid to have certain beliefs about that person, not even beliefs, certain opinions about that person based on things that they've said. That is very valid. Very, very valid. And Mike, like you alluded to, we might share some of those same beliefs, but we're not going to sit here and say that that person just is bad at football because of that. That's ridiculous.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think it's fair, before we move on to our next topic, I think it's fair to say that Buffalo and Miami are pretty even, like, comparisons for the Jets skill-wise.
Sure.
Florio has the Dolphins at 11.
Yeah.
Saying, this is you want to hear a masterclass in saying nothing in just word salad. Whether they can win in the postseason will depend on whether they can win late in the regular season consistently.
That's what that was. That was the analysis?
That was his analysis of the Dolphins.
Oh my god,
that was it. That's just jumbled word that means nothing. Did he like hit his head before he wrote this? What does that even mean? I don't think they could win in the postseason with the game in the regular season. Florio, are you okay, man? That's what it feels like. Buffalo is 7, by the way. Will a revamped receiving corps be ready to go? I don't know. You're supposed to tell us.
Revamped. Revamped is not the word I would use for worse. You mean significantly worse? Revamped. That they retooled and brought in new people to like new good players to bring in to replace the old guys. Their wide receiver one is Curtis Samuel. Like,
Packers are 6, by the way, which is
sure.
Jordan Love was good for half a year. People forget the first half of the year he was bad. Jordan Love. But
I normally hate doing shit like this where it's like, tearing down another person in the media, because look, it's a hard job. You're gonna have a lot of people that disagree with you.
This was made to be torn down.
It was. I'm pretty sure in the tweet he said all complaints are welcome and expected. So he knew this was coming. But it's just
I hate when guys do that when they do something stupid and they're like, haha, rent free. Right.
They put out like an objectively terrible mock draft that doesn't make any sense, and they're like, just throwing this out there, see what you guys think.
Wow, the trolls are out today. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. The part that bothers me is that this is so clearly not a football opinion. Like, that's what bothers me. Because if Mike Florio was genuinely here and he tried to sit down and make a valid argument for why he believes the Jets are the 25th best team, which would be very difficult to do. But if he did that, fine. I would listen. I would hear him out. But we know that that's not what this is. Like, we don't have to bullshit. We know exactly why he ranked the Jets 25th.
And using his own logic, injured veterans, there's two people he's talking about.
Yeah.
Both of whom have quality backups, one of which was a number 11 overall pick.
Yep.
And one of whom didn't get hurt for 7 years prior. Like, it's
insane. But
it hurts your brain the more you look at it. So let's do some more brain rot. Look at more poor Jets rankings. And more Sauce Gardner discourse, because Sauce Gardner apparently is the only guy who could be pretty, I don't know about the unquestioned best player at his position. I mean, we think he is. You could question it, but
I think he'd be unquestioned.
I think there's arguments for other people, but you can't put him outside the top like 3.
Yeah, I would agree. You definitely can't put him outside the top 3.
Top 3. He's like the only guy in the league where it's like not cool to put him there, and it's cool to hate on. Like, no one hates on Justin Jefferson like this.
Nope.
Do people hate on, McCaffrey or Derrick Henry like this?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
But Sauce gets it. I don't know why, but he does. Joey Porter Jr. Apparently some of the hits to the head his dad must have taken during his Steelers career must have transferred over to his son, because Joey Porter Jr. in a Bleacher Report, or at least to Jordan Schultz, a Bleacher Report, was asked to rank the top 5 cornerbacks. Obviously, he puts himself in there at number 5, because he's a humble guy.
Sure.
5. Then he goes, Pat Surtain. Fine. Okay, Pat Surtain's 4. Then Jalen Johnson, 3. Okay. I mean, he was good last year, Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson's fantastic. He absolutely belongs in any top 3 list. He was incredible last year.
Trent McDuffie, number 2. is confusing because he was even the best cornerback on his own team last year and is not the best cornerback in his draft class. I don't even think he's the second best cornerback in his draft class because I think Derek Stingley's better. And McDuffie's good, but let's be real here.
McDuffie's good. He's not a top five corner, but he is good.
Yes. And then the number one player, Sauce Gardner, right? Nope, Aljarius Sneed.
Which
he's such a good cornerback, a Super Bowl winner, said, nah, we're not going to bring you back. That's how good Aljarius Sneed is.
I have a quick stat for you. Aljarius Sneed last year was penalized 18 times. That is 18. That is six more than any cornerback in the NFL. Do you know who was second, Mike?
Good team or bad team?
Moderate team, middle of the pack. It's somebody that is very relevant to this discussion.
Joey Porter.
It was Joey Porter Jr.
Okay. So he didn't care about that.
So clearly, Joey
Porter. I thought Sauce Gardner was the holder, though. Isn't that what everybody keeps telling me?
Sauce had five penalties last year. Five.
According to NFL Twitter, he had 65. If you were to only listen to them.
Aljarius Sneed, who was apparently Joey Porter Jr.'s number one corner in the NFL. Which
again, these guys are not bad. They're not bad cornerbacks.
Like he's a good corner. I think he's a good player. Honestly, I think Trent McDuffie might be better than Aljarius Sneed.
Chiefs could have kept Sneed if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think McDuffie is better than Aljarius Sneed. Sneed had 18 penalties last year. Was targeted 102 times, which is a crazy, crazy high amount. How many players?
Let's just get targeted like 30.
Fucking nothing. There are only seven players in the NFL that were targeted, seven corners that were targeted more than Aljarius Sneed last year.
Asante Samuel would call that ball production, though.
Right. Meanwhile, Sauce Gardner.
Remember that whole thing from last year.
Sauce Gardner was targeted 51 times.
half
the amount. He allowed 29 catches. That's it.
Just and he's on the field all the time.
Yep.
His offense sucked.
Based on last season alone, the top two corners in the NFL are Sauce Gardner and Jalen Johnson. Patrick Surtain is also a phenomenal player. He had a down year last year, but he was exceptional before that. So you want to still throw him in that same tier? I have no issue with that.
And everything around him was just terrible. So that hurts everybody. And
also, it was just a really bad start to the year, too. He kind of fixed it up later on. Cornerback is just such a volatile position that stuff like that's going to happen. I still think Patrick Surtain is obviously one of the best corners in the NFL. I think those three are your clear top tier. I think it's a pretty, I don't want to say decent gap to everyone else, but you know, then there's guys like Charvarius Ward. I'd probably throw up there. I mean, I would throw Deron Bland in that conversation because he does get, not only does he get a lot of the turnovers, but he does back it up. He is genuinely a good cover corner.
Marlon Humphrey when he's healthy.
It's been a while, man. I don't think I'd put Marlon Humphrey in that tier anymore. It's been a while. I know you're the Ravens guy. You want to throw him in there. I don't think I'd throw him in that tier. At one point, he was. And that's the thing. Like, this is my whole thing about Sauce Gardner, and it's what makes it so freaking impressive that he's doing this, is that the cornerback position is one of the most volatile positions in the NFL. So I also throw linebacker in that same conversation where it's so rare to find a guy who is the best player at that position for multiple years in a row. Unless you're a Fred Warner, unless you're a Sauce Gardner, it is so rare because you see guys come and go in those positions. Like, they'll have great years and then they fall off. It happens all. I mean, look at like a JC Jackson. Like, it happens all the time.
And that's just scheme. He just went to the wrong scheme. He was a man-to-man guy who went to his own team and that ruined his career.
Yeah. And so for somebody like Sauce Gardner to not only be statistically the best cornerback in the NFL for 2 years in a row, because statistically he has been, any metric you want to throw out there, he has been the best cornerback in the NFL over the last 2 years. But for him to do that, not only 2 years in a row, but the first 2 years he's been in the NFL, we have literally never seen a cornerback have they start to their career that Sauce Gardner has.
Not Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey. And I'm not saying he's that good yet, obviously, but if he continues on this path, this is like all-time stuff.
Based on the first 2 years of his career, he is on GOAT trajectory. He is on pace to be the greatest cornerback in NFL history. Will he do that? I don't know. Who knows? He's been in the NFL for 2 years. It's crazy to say he will do that. But if he continues being the best corner in the league for the rest of his career, yeah, he will be the best cornerback in NFL history. So this is obviously insane. It's asinine.
What gave me some hope, though, is I feel like part of it, too, is everybody is just stupid and they don't think for themselves, number one. So because of that, like, they see something about Sauce being over, or like that one play where Stephon Diggs cooked him and got open, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is happening. every single play.
Which was not even Sauce Gardner's fault. That whole play, Bills fans will always
know. Are you talking about the long touchdown Shakir caught or the other one?
Oh, the long touchdown. Oh, Shakir. I'm sorry. You're the Diggs.
No, remember when I think it was like the first, it was rookie year.
Yes.
That one.
It's rookie. And then the other one is Dolphins fans will throw the one catch that Jalen Waddle had on him for like 30 yards, which was great coverage, by the way.
Waddle was just a crazy catch. Like
Waddle's a phenomenal receiver, and it was a really nice throw by Tua. But yeah, that's the thing. Sauce Gardner's the only corner in the NFL that is not allowed to give up a catch. And in the rare occasion,
he does it in some games.
He literally does it on a rarer occasion than any other corner in the NFL. When he does, he gets blamed. I'm telling you, Mike, when Sauce eventually has a down year, which will happen, he's not going to be the best corner in the NFL every year of his career. It is going to happen because it happens to everybody. It happened to Pat Surtain last year. When that happens, that's it. That is the end. You were gonna the takes on Twitter, on social media, on TV, it's gonna be unreal. Like
which is funny because Pat Surtain had a down year and everybody's making excuses. Like we just did because the defense was bad.
Yep.
It's funny. What gave me some hope is as I was saying earlier, people are stupid and they all subscribe to this Sauce nonsense.
Yeah. Groupthink.
Looking at the replies to at least some of the original tweets. I think finally this is kind of going over the edge now where people are like, All right, now this is stupid. And they're like, you can't not put Sauce in there.
And all he had to do was be the best quarterback in the NFL the first 2 years of his career. And now finally he's going to get some recognition. But I'm telling you, Mike, the second that he has a down year or even a down game, it's going to come right back. And people are going to go right back to that narrative.
You know what my least favorite Sauce take is? Well, he's just a creation of the New York media. I've heard that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
What?
They hate the Jets. Nobody likes the Jets.
Mike Florio just ranked the Jets 25th.
It was just 20, New York media creation. Do you think Sal Licata and Brandon Tierney are that powerful?
Right. The Jets have been the laughing
stock. They're influencing debates about who's good in the NFL across time zones. Are you really hanging on what Evan Roberts is saying?
The Jets have been the laughing stock of the NFL for the better part of the last few decades. At the very least, they've been a laughingstock in the NFL over the last 13, 14 years during this playoff drought. There's no positive bias towards the Jets. Any media coverage the Jets get, they have to now overcome the bias against them because of their own doing, they're seen in a certain light. And it's their own fault. They've been a poorly run organization for a long time. Nobody's saying that's even a bad thing. Like it makes sense that they're treated this way. But
the problem though is with that is it's a weird thing with the Jets because there have been teams that have like similar playoff droughts. Like remember the Bucs didn't make the playoffs for a while before they got Brady. But in terms of like how notorious they've been, for being bad. The only one I can remember being similar to that is the Browns, like after they came back.
I feel like the Lions too.
And a lot, I guess the Lions, but they at least had some Stafford years where they made the playoffs. Like they were at least, they had a period where they were okay. The Browns,
they still haven't even made a Super Bowl. Like,
I mean, in terms of like a playoff drought, because the Lions at least had the Stafford time.
Sure.
And the Jets have. So looking at that though, like before the Browns ruined all their goodwill, getting the scummy Deshaun Watson with that whole thing, before that, they had this like lovable loser, like, oh, look at the Browns. What if they start winning this year? Like, it was almost like a positive thing. With the Jets, it's like everyone wants to keep them down. That's what I don't get. They've been the most harmless, goofy, non-impactful team in the league for over 10 years. And yet there's this like, oh, off-season champions. Let's hope they lose. It's like, what?
You want
to
know
why does everybody have an axe to grind with them? I don't like Woody Johnson either. Is that it? But I don't know.
No, it's two reasons. One, I'll say the lesser reason first. One, with this current team, it's Aaron Rodgers. People don't like Aaron Rodgers,
right?
And again, that's fair. That's fair. Well, I'm not saying
like the Packers, right? Generally, right? Like,
yeah, but I think Aaron Rodgers over the last few years has definitely made more enemies than he did over the majority of his career. You know, for some stuff that he said, some stuff that's come out.
This predates Rodgers a little bit too.
It does. You know, it does. That's why I'm saying in regards to the current team, that's why part of it is that people don't look at the Jets as like the underdogs finally trying to succeed because of who there is a quarterback. But the other bigger reason is the New York bias. It's because they play in New York. A team from New York can never be seen as an underdog. It just doesn't happen.
They don't do this for the Giants.
Well, the Giants aren't underdogs. The Giants are a successful organization.
The last like 10 years, they've been as bad as the Jets.
No, but nobody cares because they won Super Bowls recently enough. You know, no one's gonna care.
Look at the Giants. They're struggling now. There's none of that. Yeah, I mean, they make fun of Daniel Jones' contract, but that's just like everybody does.
The Giants are seen as superior to the Jets. So the Jets are the little brothers. The Jets are the punching bag everyone can talk to. We'll talk basketball. It's a similar thing with the Knicks. I mean, I don't know if you want to say the Knicks, I guess, are the older brother. They both suck. The Knicks and the Nets have not been well-run organization for a long time. I feel like it's hopefully changed now with the Knicks. But the Knicks, despite the fact that they have been just incompetent and terrible and in a lot of ways just, I would say, lovable losers for some of that time, they're never going to be seen that way because they're the New York Knicks, because they play in New York. It's the same thing with the Jets. The Jets will never be seen as the lovable losers. Let's hope that they can win it for their city because they play in New York. It's different with the Browns. It's different with the Lions because nobody, like, there's no axe to grind against Detroit or Cleveland.
Even like, the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs at least had that lovable loser thing. Like,
they did. I do think it, when you go 100 years or whatever without a championship, I think if the Jets.
The Jets are on that pretty soon.
If the Jets playoff route extended to 25 years, I think they'd start to get some of that attention to be like, all right, maybe throw them a bone. Like,
please.
Maybe they deserve something. Maybe. I'm not even confident, but I think once it gets the history like that, all right, maybe. But yeah, I think it's the New York thing. I really think it's the New York thing. I don't think anyone's going to look at the Jets that way because they play in New York. And now, of course, they have Aaron Rodgers. So now no one, you know, they're not going to be seen as the lovable underdogs because their quarterback is definitely not a lovable underdog. So, but this is a ridiculous list.
Last comment before we go on to our final segment.
Sure.
Former players have forgotten more football than we'll know. This just shows that doesn't always mean that they know,
correct,
they know ball all the time.
Especially current players. That is
sometimes they're way off.
Right.
Ever Gilbert Arenas have a take on the NBA for crying out loud?
You heard Gilbert Arenas talk about anything?
Wallace just said Kevin Durant should retire today.
NBA media is so cooked. NBA media is like having
and
like,
NFL's getting there with that whole Asante Samuel thing.
It is. LeSean McCoy giving any kind of take. It's terrible. But yeah, like this is why I always say that, like, don't ask current players for their opinions on current NFL teams because they don't, like, Joey Porter Jr. is not sitting down and watching every Jets game. He's not doing that. He's watching the film that he has to watch, and then he may be watching corners that he might idolize. So maybe he watches a lot of L'Jarius Sneed film, and maybe he's like, oh, this guy's really good. You think L'Jarius Sneed is watching every rep that Sauce Gardner has? Absolutely not. Or Joey Porter, you think Joey Porter's watching that? Absolutely not. Of course not. So that's that. Of course he's not going to know. He's not going to have a valid opinion on this stuff because he does not know this stuff. Joey Porter Jr. knows more about football than we'll ever know, but that does not mean that he is qualified to tell you who the best cornerback in the NFL is. And this list is very clearly evidence of that.
Just don't encourage this behavior because who knows what other kind of player rankings we're going to get if this keeps up. So
let's get into non-hater mode, Mike.
Let's get into positive mode. Well, we can hate on some selections. We're going to do an all-time snake Jets draft. Yep. We're going to do two different episodes. We're going to do offense today and then defense down the road as the offseason soldiers on into July. But doing the same format that we've done with past Jets draft, we are going to do a full snake. So whoever gets number one will get number four, followed by two and three, and so on. So sure. We are going to go pick a quarterback, a running back, two wide receivers,
okay,
a tight end, and three offensive linemen. I think that's fair.
I agree. How do we want to decide who picks first here?
You pick first.
Ooh, you're just going to give me
– because I have a thing set up and your name is before mine, so that's where you're going first.
Okay. Well, all right. I feel like I have to make this pick because there's one position here where there's one great player and then a bunch of uncertainty or – you know, I would say a big step down. Now you could be like, oh, 2015 Ryan Fitzpatrick. You could say Vinny Testaverde. You could say whatever we might get from Aaron Rodgers. But I feel like I would be dumb, Mike, if I didn't take with the first overall pick in our all-time Jets drafts, I will be selecting
Neil O'Donnell.
Neil O'Donnell, Christian Hackenberg, quarterback Penn State. Now, give me Joe Namath, Joe Willie, Broadway Joe, quarterback Alabama. Give me the only starting quarterback who has won a championship with the Jets. That is, I feel like the obvious pick here.
And the first player in NFL history to have 4,000 yards, which he did in 14 games.
The only Jets quarterback to ever accomplish that.
Yes. At a time when you could like rip people's heads off before they even caught the ball.
Yeah.
4,000 yards.
feel like Namath had to be the obvious pick here. You can go wherever you want a quarterback. This felt like an easy pick.
So should I pick my quarterback or should I just pick my best overall player is what I'm going to wonder.
I think there's an obvious strategy, but I don't want to help you out here.
I'm going to go pick my quarterback. How about that?
Ooh, okay. Okay.
You know, you wouldn't. Nah, I'm going to pick my running back.
I thought the obvious strategy was not to pick a quarterback because obviously I'm not going to take another quarterback now. So,
but I need a playmaker for this team.
Okay.
Somebody who's going to get in the damn end zone. So I'm going to pick a guy who has been ultra consistent, a guy who is perpetually underrated throughout NFL history. And I'm going to take a guy who defected from a rival, Curtis Martin, as my running back. Love me some Curtis Martin. Of course, obviously 3 years in New England. He then joins when Bill Parcells comes to the Jets and ultra, ultra, ultra consistent. 1,000 yards in 10 straight years, led the league in rushing in 2004. Do you know what an average 16-game season was for Curtis Martin? 1,821 yards from scrimmage.
Christ, my God.
411 touches.
So good.
So for 6-7 years, he was the Jets' offense. He was all they had. They had a young Chad Pennington, and then him, and that was it. So it's got to be Curtis Martin.
Not Dalvin Cook? No, not Dalvin Cook.
It's actually Israel Abanikanda.
Wow, that's a sleeper pick. He could still be good. We don't know.
Yeah. I still love my boy Chris Ivory. All right.
Of course. You get another pick.
I got another pick to make.
By the way, let us know in the comments, anybody listening, whether it's live or later, let us know who got the best team. We will, I think, be drafting all-time defenses next week. So then we could also kind of combine our teams and put it all, you know, put it all together and see who has the best team.
We will. Now I'm looking and I'm weighing two different things. I could either get a star wide receiver or I could go on the offensive line and really beef it up a little bit.
There's a few really good wide receivers.
And a few good offensive linemen, more than you think. Because the Jets in the 80s actually have pretty good offensive lines.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of them. I'm going back and forth. But if I had to pick one offensive lineman, I'm going to have to go with somebody who was already in Canton, and I'm going to go with Winston Hill.
Ah, that's a good point.
Eight-time Pro Bowler. Joe Namath's blindside guy. Took forever for him to get into Canton. Finally got in. I actually saw his number get retired, actually, at a game I was at. He went into the Ring of Honor at a game I was at. And so shout out Winston Hill, another guy who, because a lot, if you just watched, you know, those old NFL films, you'd think it was Joe Namath was the only guy on the field for the Jets, but nope, it was Winston Hill. They were a running team still, even with Joe Namath, with Boozer and Snell, and Winston Hill was opening up those lanes. Mm-hmm. Winston Hill is on my all-time team.
So are we going, we're going tackle, guard, center. We're going one of each, right?
One of each.
All right. So I don't got to worry about tackle now. I think it's probably obvious who I'm going to take a tackle, but I don't have to worry about that now. Now I am faced with the question. Well, I got two picks here. So I'm going to definitely take a wide receiver. And you know what? You know, they say, you know, this is a fantasy term, right? You want the stack, right? You want two guys who you know are going to produce together, who have that chemistry, because if one does well, the other's going to do well. I'm gonna take a similar approach to my roster building. I already got Joe Namath. Let me go and get Joe Namath, his number one wide receiver. Let me take Don Maynard, the best wide receiver in Jets history. That is going to be my second pick. We're going different routes here. You're going, well, I guess Winston Hill was more of an older pick. Curtis Martin was a newer guy, but I'm just gonna, maybe I just rebuild the 68 championship team. Maybe that's what I do. Maybe I rebuild the 68-69 Jets and they won a Super Bowl. So maybe I could do that. But give me Joe Namath, give me Don Maynard.
I mean, if you're doing it right now, I mean, Don Maynard is passed away, so I don't know how effective he'd be as a wide receiver.
I think of this as we're taking them in their prime, right? That's why, like, the quarterback, you could be like, I want 2015 Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think that's fair. Just don't worry about 2016, right, Fitzpatrick? All right. I think I should go. What if I just load up a wide receiver? What if I just take? Now, I don't think there's a clear cut.
Free country. Like, I'm not a cop. You can do it.
You're not? Okay. I don't think there's a clear cut, like, absolutely home run. I got to take this wide receiver next. Like, I think there's a guy I have above the others, but you know what? What if I, because I feel, okay, there's one position group here that I think we both agree is the weakest here, and it's tight end. The Jets have nothing at tight. I don't even know. Like, I have a couple of guys here, but it's so bad. Like, it's such a bad history. Like, Dustin Keller might be like the third best tight end in Jets history, and that's crazy. I'm not going to take Dustin Keller. So I'm considering taking a tight end right here, but I can't do it. I will instead take, you know what? All right. I'm going to go a different route. I think there's another position group here that is also sneaky, very shallow, and that's offensive guard. And so I'm going to take Randy Rasmussen at guard, because I don't even know who the second best guard in Jets history would be, because I feel like Randy Rasmussen is the clear cut, like, obvious best guard. He played like 14, 15 years. Once again, I'm just rebuilding that 68, 69 Jets team. Started at left guard for like 200 games. I don't think he ever made any all pro teams or anything like that, but just a model of consistency for a long period of time. That's a weird pick. I know.
12th round pick. We don't even have 12 rounds anymore. No.
That pick for me is based on scarcity alone, because I don't know who the next best guard in Jets history is going to be. I'm really interested to see who you eventually pick there, but I'm taking him before you can take him. There's definitely a lot better players still on the board, but that's going to be my pick. By the way, Brian in chat saying that Tyler Conklin is already eighth in receiving yards amongst tight ends in Jets history. He might end up top four by the end of the year. Like, that's how bad it is.
Little peek behind the curtain. When I was doing some stuff just writing wise, and I was doing like a best players in Ravens history, just with at the writing part of it. That team has not been around for a while. So when you're trying to do a list of like 15 wide receivers, and Rashad Bateman is like one of the 15, Derek Mason has 2,000 more receiving yards than the second place guy, who was Torrey Smith. So yeah, not exactly. Torrey Smith played for 4 years. He's the number two receiver they ever had. So
I think he had like one 1,000-yard season too. Like, oh my God.
Exactly. Yeah. But Mark Andrews is going to break the touchdown record soon for them. But
So far, I've only drafted players from that champion, from that Super Bowl team, which is Namath Maynard.
Yeah, I guess so. So yeah, I'm going to go. I need a quarterback eventually, because I can't. I'm not going to run the veer like Lou Holtz the 1 year that he was the Jets coach, and he was running the triple option.
You could.
So,
Brad Smith. You can take Brad Smith. He'll be your quarterback.
So let's see. I need some receivers too.
Yep. There's some really good ones still out there.
I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going to go get my quarterback situation just figured out now.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with a guy who gets a lot of unfair crap from around the league. I'm going to go with Kenny O'Brien.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. Wow.
I'm
going
to go with Kenny O'Brien because, like, everybody remembers him. Well, they didn't take Dan Marino over him. And yes, true, Dan Marino, hot take, is better than Ken O'Brien. But you go look at his numbers. They're not bad. Yeah. 3 years out of four, he had the lowest interception percentage in the league. 50 touchdowns in 2 years in the 80s. I think that's impressive. Two-time Pro Bowl, probably should have been three. He was fifth in Offensive Player of the Year voting. Yeah. Although it is funny. I was looking up his splits the other day. Don't ask why. I got nothing going on. Ken O'Brien was famous for getting into these shootouts with Marino in Miami. That was like Dolphins fans would always say he'd go like 13 of 30, and then he'd play the Dolphins and go 28 of 32 or something crazy. If you go look at his career touchdown numbers, about the same touchdown interception ratio when he played against the Bills, like 12 and 12. It was like 17 and 11 against the Colts when they were in the division, and New England, something similar. 25 to 12. Against Miami. So if he played the Dolphins every week, guy might have been a Hall of Famer. But Ken O'Brien gets a lot of unfair crap, so I'm going to put him there.
Okay.
So now I got my quarterback, I got my left tackle, and I got my running back. I think that's bones in an offense right there.
I got to say, I'm surprised by the pick. I don't think I would have I think I'd have two quarterbacks ahead of him on my list.
Really?
That's including Aaron Rodgers, who we have not seen play more than – we have not seen him complete a pass for the Jets, but I would still
– based on solely their contributions to the Jets.
Okay.
Ken O'Brien is a career Jet.
All right. In that case, then I would still probably have Vinny Testaverde over Ken O'Brien.
Yeah, he didn't play, and then his Achilles popped.
I'm thinking at their peak. I'm not thinking longevity as much, even though I did just take Randy Rasmussen.
I know he's an Italian guy from Long Island, but I'm not giving Vinny that bump.
I would take Vinny this peak. I would take 2015 Ryan Fitzpatrick over Ken O'Brien.
That's a depressing stat.
So, you weren't there for 2015 Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. You weren't there. That was a different.
That was my freshman year of college, man. That was bumping that year.
And then what 2017 Josh McCown, real ones remember.
So moving on, I'm looking at, I could get another lineman.
You could.
I also need some receivers because I need two of them.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with a guy who, based on his contribution to the Jets, like, he's another underrated player who doesn't get the love I think he deserves, but pretty good in his prime. It was maybe Ken O'Brien's favorite target, mm-hmm. Wesley Walker.
Yep, that would be my here. Yeah.
Because Wesley Walker, 8,000 career receiving yards, 71 touchdowns. Pro Bowl twice, All Pro twice. He led the league in yards per catch, 19 yards per catch for his career, which was 13 years. That's impressive. A guy who, I know Ken O'Brien was okay, but if you put him on like Miami when they had Marino, I mean, who knows what could numbers he could have put up. I think he was better than Mark Clayton and Mark Duper. Imagine what he could have done there. So justice for my guy, Wesley Walker.
That was going to be my pick. That's a good pick. That's who if I was considering doubling up a wide receiver, I was going to take Wesley Walker. That was if I had Maynard and Walker, it would have been sick. But I went Randy Rasmussen instead. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I'm going to go another wide receiver now. I do want to get my second wide receiver in there, and there's a few like really good options here. Honestly, Garrett Wilson is one of those options. I'm not going to take him. But I would not blame anybody for taking Garrett Wilson here. I think in terms of talent alone, he's one of the best receivers the Jets have ever had, and I think he's just scratching the surface of his potential. But I'm not gonna take him here. So my options are now down to Wayne Corbett's another guy, but I'm not taking Wayne Corbett. I just think there are better players, even if he's one of the greatest Jets of all time. There are better wide receivers on this list. So I'm now stuck between two players. And that is,
you can take them both. You got back to back. So,
well, I only got two wide receivers. So I would have to be playing one. Mike, I have an idea.
No, you're not. We're sticking to the parameters.
Hold on. What if I drafted 2015 Brandon Marshall to be my tight end?
Nah,
not allowed. Is that allowed? No, that's so creative. Come on. We don't got you. Jerome Barkham was kind of a wide receiver anyway. Let me put Brandon Marshall there. Let me put Brandon Marshall at tight end. So no, we're not allowing that.
That's hogwash.
Damn. All right. Because that would have been the steal if I just put, boom, Brandon Marshall, and I put him at tight end. All right. So I'm between 2015 Brandon Marshall or pre-injuries Al Toon. That's where I'm at here. I think those are my two best options here. And maybe this will be a controversial take for some older Jets fans, but I'm going to take 2015 Brandon Marshall. I think at his peak, what Brandon Marshall did in his 1 year with the Jets was better than any 1 year Al Toon had with the Jets. Even Al Toon was, I believe, All Pro. He was a phenomenal, fantastic player before the head injuries and everything piled up. I think 2015 Brandon Marshall was another level. Imagine Joe Namath throwing to Don Maynard. He did throw to him. And 2015 Brandon Marshall. That's crazy, man.
And then Brandon Marshall became the archetype of the things we don't like about former players making picks on TV.
Yeah, but we don't got to.
He had some horrendous takes when he was on TV.
But we are specifically talking, and I want you to, at least on my draft board, I'm writing 2015 Brandon Marshall. I'm not putting any other. I'm putting specifically 2015 Brandon Marshall. No other year. Nothing else. Not his time with the Bears. Not with the Dolphins.
I'll allow it, but watch yourself, McCoy.
We're going
one time thing.
Not 2016 Brandon Marshall. We're going 2015 Brandon Marshall.
This is a one-time thing.
If you said 2015 Fitz, I would have been okay with that. I think that's totally valid. All right. So now that I got my receivers taken care of, I got two receivers. I don't have a running back yet, but you're not taking another one, and I think it's a pretty easy pick there. Center. So there's two positions neither of us have taken yet, and that's center and tight end. Center feels almost like a toss-up to me. I think there's two obviously great options here. Man, tight end. Do I just take a tight end and just say,
Do I just do it?
Well, this is internal dialogue. I'm not asking permission. do I just take a tight end? Because it's so bad, man. Like, it's not good. But maybe I go for longevity. Yeah. All right. Give me the only Jets tight end, I believe. I'm not going to verify this, but it's got to be true. The only Jets tight end ever make two Pro Bowls with the team. Give me Mickey Schuler, I guess.
Ah, that is not who I thought you were going to go with.
Oh, really? I mean, Jarrell Barkham's there. I guess
that wasn't it either, but okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm interested to see who you take then.
All right.
But, you know, Mickey Schuler made a couple of Pro Bowls with the Jets. Yeah,
Ken O'Brien, another guy.
A staple of those 80s teams. He was actually second team All Pro in 1988. That's crazy. The bar for tight ends was pretty low. But yeah, give me Mickey Schuler. I think also, like, you know, kind of a smaller guy. Maybe he could thrive in today's NFL too. I don't know if that's necessarily the grounds we're playing on, but yeah, give me Mickey Schuler. I'll let you make the decision at center, because I'm fine with either of them.
So I'm happy that you didn't pick a center, because now it's come time for me to pick a center.
Yeah.
And there's two guys.
Yep.
And I'm going to concede one to Justin, because I can only pick one. But I think it's obvious, because this is a guy who was one of the best at his position in NFL history.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Mawai.
I would have taken Mawai if I had the choice. I would.
It's Kevin Mawai, because although he had some pretty long stints with Tennessee where he was really good at the end, even before with Seattle, I mean, his time with the Jets, that's what made him a Hall of Famer. Him a Hall of Famer. Would you believe, Justin, he was an All-Pro six times in 7 years, and he ended his career with seven All-Pro teams and eight Pro Bowl nods.
Yeah.
And just I love hearing old guys talk about, you know, oh, you should have seen this player when he was around. Anybody who went against Kevin Mawai is like, man, that was the toughest game of the year every single year. He would just beat up on you. So Kevin Mawai is my center. So now I need a guard.
I'm really curious. I'm really curious about your guard and tight end. Who you take both?
Because that's all I need. I got my quarterback. I got my two receivers. I got my running back.
Yeah.
And I got my left tackle. I got my tackle and I got my center. So I need a guard and I need a tight end. And I'm going to go and pick a guard first. Get that out of the way.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with another guy who played primarily in the 80s, because there were two guards that I was thinking about from those 80s teams. And unfortunately, one of them just passed away, Jim Sweeney in 2022. Yeah.
Jim Sweeney, I was thinking Jim Sweeney, but also, like, he was more of a center.
They moved him around a lot.
Yeah, he played
guard.
So
I'm going to go with a guard. Dan Alexander.
Okay.
He was the right guard on all those teams.
Yep, longevity. There forever.
183 starts with the Jets, pretty much every game for 12 years. Super consistent, super reliable. There's a running back who's still on the board I think you might like, who we helped block for.
Yes.
So Dan Alexander is my guard.
That's fair. Yeah. Just we both kind of went longevity with the guard picks there. You also need another wide receiver, by the way. You're only taking one.
Yes, I have. So yeah.
Yep. So you also, because I was like, I have three picks left. How do you only have two? But yeah.
So you're up. So
yeah, you got Dan Alexander. All right. So just to recap really quick what we got. I got Joe Namath, Don Maynard, Randy Rasmussen, 2015 Brandon Marshall, and Mickey Schuler. Now we're up to positions that both of us don't need. So there's no competition here at this point. So I'm just gonna go in order. Give me my running back, give me the guy that you were just alluding to, give me Freeman McNeil. I think it's pretty consensus who the top two running backs in Jets history are. You got Curtis Martin. Give me Freeman McNeil. Yeah, you can consider like a Matt Snell if I really wanted to keep trying to build that championship team, that Super Bowl team. But no, I think it's fairly obvious. Give me Freeman McNeil. And then so now I have a center and a tackle left. So we're just going to – I mean, you know exactly where I'm going with both of these picks. I can't take them in order, I guess, technically, or I can't take them back-to-back. So I'll go – give me my tackle first. Give me DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Feel like that's the obvious.
A mini surprise. Marvin Powell is still there.
I give me Ferguson over Marvin Powell. Also, because Powell was the right tackle, right? So give me the position value, left tackle over right tackle. Give me DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and you know that my center pick will be the guy that he played alongside, but I can't take him yet because you are up.
And I got just the two picks left. I got my tight end and my other receiver.
Yep.
So because of that, I'm looking at the receivers, and it's a guy, I think it's pretty obvious, a little stylistic contrast from my last guy. He's a fan favorite.
Oh, you're doing it. Wow, you're not taking Al Toon going undrafted.
Wayne Krabet, I just feel, well, because Toon had the injuries. Toon's prime was better.
That's what
Krabet, I think, is more was more consistent for a longer period of time. Super reliable, great hands.
Sure.
Now I'm a tight end. I'm going to get a guy. Admittedly, he was a little bit of a hybrid, but the Jets did that back in the day. You know, hybrid receiver, tight end. Tight end wasn't really what it was now.
Hey,
Kellen Winslow.
If I wasn't allowed to put Brandon Marshall at tight end, I don't know if I should allow this.
I'm just going to take my guy, Rich Caster.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Because yeah, Rich Caster, unfortunately, he also passed away just this year, 2024, at 75. Three Pro Bowls.
Shit,
and as a tight end, this was pre-Kellen Winslow when the tight end was not what it was. 800 yards, 700 yards, 800 yards. Deep threat. He had 20 yards a catch multiple times. Three Pro Bowls. Really a man ahead of his time.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I forgot of Rich Caster's existence until you just said him, and I do believe that he was better than Mickey Schuler. So, whoops. I completely forgot he existed. Damn. All right. He made three Pro Bowls.
The guy just died, and that's how you pay respect to his legacy?
I'm sorry. He's a legend. I just forgot. I was like, man, Jets Titans are so bad. And I'm like, Mickey Schuler or Jerome Barker? I don't know. Dustin Keller? Yeah, I guess Rich Caster. So, I guess maybe Keller's the fourth best tight end in Jets history. I don't know. All right. Well, with Mr. Irrelevant with the last pick, pretty fairly obvious, I will be taking Nick Mangold. Yeah, you got a guy like Jim Sweeney. Joe Fields was there for a while too, but Nick Mangold is the clear cut. I think top two center in Jets history. He would be maybe the best center on a lot of NFL teams. The Jets just have had a really good history of centers. So yeah, give me Mangold and Ferguson. I also have that offensive line continuity between those two. So that's nice. If we're paying any attention to that, they played alongside each other for a long time. So
they were the same year, right?
Draft. Was that? Yeah, they were the same
draft.
They were the same draft. Absolutely. Ferguson out of Virginia, Nick Mangold out of Ohio State, both that same draft.
And Nick Mangold has the advantage of also being a barbecue sauce.
So we got the halftime lunch covered as well with Nick Mangold's barbecue sauce.
I will say this. This is not even an official ad. This is free publicity, Nick Mangold. I have tried the spicy version of his barbecue sauce, and it was superb. So
really? I've never had it.
I was at a buddy's and they had it. So if you want to send us some of your 74 barbecue, Nick Mangold, we would very happily take some. So
I would love that. I have tried the sauce at Buffalo Wild Wings, and that is very good. So I'll throw that out.
That was actually just okay to me.
Wow. Hey, what?
It just felt like a regular barbecue sauce.
We're trying to get sponsorships. We're trying to get
yeah, like Buffalo Wild Wings is going to come down here.
Like Nick Mangold is going to.
Nick Mangold, that's a small business. I'm supporting a small business.
I have interviewed Nick Mangold, so I have spoken to him. So maybe he'll remember that. He probably won't. All right. So we'll recap really quick. My offensive team that I got, let me see if I can go with position here. So I got Joe Namath at quarterback, Freeman McNeil at running back. My wide receivers are Don Maynard, 2015 Brandon Marshall. My tight end is Mickey Schuler. And my offensive line is DeBrickashaw Ferguson, Randy Rasmussen, and Nick Mangold.
And my quarterback is Ken O'Brien. My running back is Curtis Martin. My two wide receivers are Wesley Walker and Wayne Krabet, the two W's I just realized. Yep. I got Rich Caster at tight end. And then I have Winston Hill, Kevin Mawai, and Dan Alexander on the offensive line.
Pretty good. Honestly, pretty good. I think I got you.
Pretty even. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty even.
It is pretty even. I think I got you beat. My passing game's going to be better for sure.
Remember, Neil lasting that long was surprising.
Well, you took a running back, so I knew you weren't going to take another running back. Like, obviously,
I needed to get my quarterback situation too. And again, I really do think Ken O'Brien kind of gets the short end of the stick because of him being in that 83 class. Like, I think, was Boomer in 84? Because that year there were no first round quarterbacks who went.
Yeah.
And I feel like if he was in by himself, he would have looked a little better than supposed to be compared to Elway and Jim Kelly all the time.
I think if you look at like totality of their careers, he's probably the second best quarterback in Jets history. I was thinking more peak, which is why I'd be like Vinny or 2015 Fitz. or maybe Aaron Rodgers, whatever we got of him.
He was the one okay quarterback from that class, because two of them were terrible, Tony Eason and Blackledge. Everybody else was really good, like Hall of Famer. And then he was the one, I don't want to say mid because that's an insult now, but he was a good solid quarterback for a long time.
You could, mid is fine. Mid is not about, I hate that mid has become an insult. Mid is a perfectly fine thing. It is totally okay to be mid. Kirk Cousins is mid, and Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. That's okay.
Damn Jen. What's the younger one? Jen Alpha? Jen Alpha.
That's it.
Turning mid into that. So now that our teams have been, thank you so much for tuning in to the all-time Jets draft and this most recent episode of the Jet Press podcast. As always, you can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there, and we're on YouTube. We're at the Jet Press. That's where you could subscribe. That's where you could like the stream. Both of those things really do boost us in that old Google algorithm, that old masterful YouTube algorithm that can really help the show if you really want to boost us up there. So wink, nudge, nudge. That's the way to do it. So, Justin, any final thoughts on my superior team?
Hold on. All right, we'll let the comments decide that. We will be back next week. Likely doing an all-time Jets defense draft. I'm excited for that. I feel like there's more good players there. So I'm very interested to see how that ends up going. But until then, and until next time, thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter @ByMikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter @JustinZFreed. Follow the Jet Press @TheJetPress. Download the Jet Press podcast wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. You guys know what to do. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I guess most Wednesday. We will be back here next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. Thank you for listening to the Jet Press podcast. My name has been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. Wow. We'll see you guys next time.
And with that 10 out of 10 dismount, we will see you guys next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.